This is Kelly.
And this is Amy.
And you're listening to Diary of a Death Investigator. This week, Amy has an episode she's calling That's Not a Bird's Nest.
And then Kelly said, oh, it's kind of like Harry Potter. So yeah, I guess it could be like Whomping Willow. I mean,
well, a lot of things went through my mind. When you think bird's nest, I was thinking a cluster of like intestines or something. And then you said, oh, the car was in the tree.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about like bird's nest, like hair.
Oh, yeah. I guess that too. I didn't think about that.
Well, you'll figure out why. So, which I just said, or I made the realization that this case was like maybe a week after our last week's case. So it was an eventful month in July of 2016. So new investigator Amy was keeping busy during this hot and humid July. This day was 103 degrees. So I'm sure I was very cranky. And I know I was very sweaty because I remember clearly making a statement about how annoyed I was with my transport driver because he was being very lazy and wouldn't get out of his van. I was like, ugh, just give me the bag. I'll do it myself. So, I was hot. I wanted to go. So, this scene, like I said, it's out in the middle of nowhere. So big open roads, and I'm sure that's why this happened in the mind of a 16-year-old boy.
Oh.
Because we know how they think things are a great idea when they're that age.
Well, we did a case, what was it called? Spade Kills. I think it was our fourth or fifth case. And those gentlemen were older, so I don't think age plays.
Well, you know, I like warn my students all the time because like some of them drive like really nice sports cars. And I'm like, please be safe. Like, and I just warn them just in general all the time, like drive safe. And they're like, Miss Bonners, don't lecture us. And I'm just like, I know I sound like a parent, but I'm just like, a lot of people haven't seen what I've seen. So I'm like, it's not always you, which probably the majority of the time it is, but
like, yeah,
just, you know, be safe because it really sucks having to pull kids out of vehicles. So yeah, 16-year-old kid, it's always worse when it's younger kids. I mean, honestly, it just is. So yeah, I get out to this scene. It's hot, it's humid. It's 103 degrees, which where I'm at when it's humid, it feels like 110. So these roads, like you can literally just see, like, you know, when it's really hot, like the pavement, the heat waves on it. And so I'm just like sitting in my truck. I just leave the truck on. So like the air is on in there and like I have a cooler with water and like even like the fire department that's there and the cops that are there, like they have water too. And like, they're so nice. Like they just offer you water when you like pull up to the scene. And it's just, ugh, these are the scenes like you put on like multiple pairs of gloves and like you make like a fist and like all this like sweat just like squishes like out of your gloves and it just like drenches like down your arms.
Silver lining, you probably lost like 10 pounds of water weight that day.
Yeah, but you're like drinking like one of these liter bottles in like 2 seconds and then you're just like, I have to drive like 3 hours and there's no bathroom.
You won't need it because you're so dehydrated.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then your clothes are like drenched through because you're so sweaty. It's crazy. It's crazy. So this area, like I said, it's on the middle of nowhere. There are a couple homes on this road, which in a way, it's kind of a blessing in disguise because just so happened to be witnessed by a woman out in her front yard. It was like kind of weird timing. But because of this, you know, they were able to actually save a life. So that was a plus. And so these kids were reported to have been driving, they thought, like 120 miles at least down this road. Now, this is out in the country, and there's this huge embankment on the side of this road, and there's like fields, like open fields next to it. And I don't think that they were growing anything. I think like sometimes cattle was out like in these fields, like a grazing field. So this lady just so happens to see this car traveling at a high rate of speed. And it's like an older model. I want to say like 90s, like a T-top Firebird. And it's like this.
I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah. It's this bright blue, sparkly Firebird. And she says that she sees it and hears it coming down the road. And then this road is known to have kind of like a dip in it. And there have been other accidents on this road before because people do tend to travel too fast on this road. But because they were traveling at an even higher rate of speed, and because this car sits, you know, so low to the ground, mm-hmm. yeah, it ended up bottoming out when it hit the road. So it hits the road, it bottoms out when it hits this divot, and then they lose control of the car. And so the car then goes off down into the embankment. When it does this, it then launches up over the embankment and then over the embankment hill and like over into like this field. And so the lady then sees this happen, and she of course calls the cops to the scene, and they know that there were like two boys in this vehicle. So they get one of them to the hospital. They're able to get him. He was still in the passenger seat, and that's basically what saved him, that is that he had a seatbelt on. So they got him out of the vehicle and they got him transported. But the other kid, he was actually launched out of the vehicle and into the field. And I want to say, gosh, he was far.
Was he not wearing a seatbelt?
No. And he had to have been, which it was crazy because his body was still intact, which I was amazed. He had to have been at least 200 feet away from the vehicle. And yeah, just crazy.
Were the T-tops off or were the T-tops on?
No, they were on. He was launched through the windshield.
Mm.
All the airbags and stuff were deployed and everything. So yeah, when I get out there, what I just see, because it's just a mess, right? There's trees right there, but where they like initially get launched up. So what I see, like when I'm looking at the roadway, you see like the skid marks, and then you see like where the car had left the roadway and like hit the embankment and then like went up and over into the field. But I hadn't realized that the car had like broken into like multiple pieces, because what had initially happened was, when the car hit this embankment, it launched it so high that it went up into these trees and it made impact with these trees. And the impact is what actually made the kid, the decedent, launch out of the vehicle and into the fields. And the passenger of the vehicle, he was the one that was like, he was like up in the tree still in the vehicle. And I didn't even realize that half of like the vehicle, like where the front part of the car still was still up in the tree. Like I was like just walking around underneath all the trees, like looking at all these different parts. And there was like clothing of these kids. Like it had like, the impact had like ripped them out of their clothes.
Well, it's amazing that guy still lived, even with, they hit multiple times, right? Because they hit the embankment and they hit.
Yeah, so the embankment really wouldn't have caused too much trauma, but that's really what like had launched them up. So it like vaulted them up. And really, if those trees weren't there, I think they could have lived. It might have hurt them a little bit. But yeah, they went through all these trees. There was just so much speed. So like they went through these trees, and that's really what stopped the car. And it was just such a bizarre thing to see, was like, I looked up and I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that there are like, there's like a half a car up here with seats. And of course, the other kid was already like on the way to the hospital, or like at the hospital. And there's like clothes and, you know, other things belonging to teenagers, like down around like the ground. Cause I was drugs? Like busy. I didn't see drugs. There was some alcohol, but I was like taking pictures of all this stuff and just like too busy to even notice that there were like just random car parts, like the transmission, like hanging up in like another tree. And it just really was amazing. I was like, it didn't even like hurt the trees. It was just crazy. Yeah. So I was like, well, where is the decedent like at from here? And so he was like quite a hike through this field. And he had major head trauma. And that's basically what had killed him, was the head trauma of him, you know, just being like ejected out of this vehicle. But of course, like multiple scrapes and bruises and lacerations.
So was he alive up until when he was ejected then? Does the kid remember? Oh, you may not have talked to the other kid.
No, I have no idea like if he was or not. But yeah, like he was pronounced, you know, on scene. So yeah, it's just crazy to like just know that he was, that they were launched up into the tree. And that's literally what, I mean, him going through the windshield, that was like enough in itself, but like he went through like the trees too. So basically like it's all this blunt force trauma that ended up like killing him. Said passenger, yeah, I'd put passenger was taken to the ER and he was launched from the vehicle. So
then when you get back and do the toxicology on the decedent, did you find alcohol in his system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had alcohol in his system, and which is like, you know, that's typical for a lot of, you know, these types of accidents as well. You know, we have a lot of these cases with like younger kids that are like this. We've even had, I had a case that was with, she was an Uber driver, an Uber or a
Lyft.
Yeah, Lyft driver. It might have been a Lyft driver, actually. And she had just dropped off her passengers and was on her way home. And it was late. And she got hit from the, I think she got hit on her side, so the driver's side, and it was by a drunk driver. It was a girl driving a Mercedes, and she was so drunk. And not only that, but she was like belligerent and so rude to everybody. And she could not understand why she was being arrested. And of course, she was injured too and was taken to the hospital, but she didn't want to have her like blood drawn.
So the girl, the Uber driver, Lyft driver died?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she died. And this girl didn't understand why she was having like her blood drawn, and she didn't even care that she had killed this girl. And like we were checking her vehicle, and this was like a brand new Mercedes that she had wrecked. She had a ton of bottles. Like she even had like this jug of like, it almost looked like a milk jug that she had like mixed stuff in. And then she had like whiskey bottles and stuff
in her car.
Yes. Empty bottles. And she didn't even care that she'd kill someone. She's like, I don't care. What are you going to do about my car?
What did she think would happen to the car?
She was like, that girl hit my car. And they're like, no, actually, you hit her and she's dead. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, I mean, vehicular manslaughter due to her drunk driving. Yeah, another young person.
Oh, was she young?
Mm-hmm.
Was she at least 21?
Yeah. She was.
Because I was wondering where she gets all these bottles from.
21 or 22.
I don't even think you can. Now, I know obviously these people aren't supposed to be drinking and driving, but you're not even supposed to have alcohol like within reach while you're driving. Now, I don't know if that's every state or just California.
I think that's every state. Well, even just anything is driving, you know, having anything in your system, even just marijuana or, you know, THC. I even saw like signs when I was driving through California, like on my way out there a couple weeks ago, where it said being under the influence of marijuana is being under the influence. Like if you get an accident, you kill somebody, like you get drug tested or, yeah, I mean, you're tested, it's still being under the influence. So,
well, I'm saying that even if you go to the grocery store and you buy a bottle that you're not intending to drink in the car, I think it can't be within reach. I still think mm-hmm. it has to be in your trunk.
I'm pretty sure that's everywhere, or just like not in your front seat or something like that.
Yeah, I don't keep, mm-hmm. I mean, even for transporting, like for work, everything stays in the back of my car.
Well, I think it should be the same in some reason to like kids, like having, well, even some adults are really bad about like cell phones and it's impairing your driving. Here's another case. I had one and this was really sad. How old was he? He was a teenager. I can't remember his exact age, but he was leaving work and he was supposed to be on his way home. And he worked at this like really popular outdoorsy sporting store. And he was supposed to be getting off work and he had been, I think he had like texted his mom like that he was on his way home and he was like speeding to get home. And I think he had like stopped at like a Walgreens or something before, like he had like a receipt and everything. I remember seeing that, but he was like speeding to get home and he's speeding on the street, but he was using Snapchat when he was on his way home and like using like the miles per hour thing on his Snapchat and was
what
like,
is that?
Like it shows how fast you're going, like while using
Snapchat?
Like the app. Mm-hmm. At the time, yeah, I'm sure they've probably taken it off since. I'm sure a lot of kids got like an accident.
Oh, wait, they were doing it on purpose to show like how fast you were going? So these kids
yes.
would post it to show like that they're speeding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was using the Snapchat while he was driving. So like the filter was mm-hmm. on. And I know that they said that he had like sent these to people and his phone was actually still open, like on the app when they found him. But he didn't even hit someone else. He had gone off the roadway, like hit a curb, and it had caused him to lose control of his car. He drove like this little, like it was like a Honda Civic or something like that. And when it, like he left the roadway, it had basically like there again, like lifted his car, like launched his car up into this parking lot. And then he collided with this huge sign that is like, you know, in a shopping mall kind of like shopping strip, they have those big light up signs.
Yeah.
It was like one of those. And it had like two poles that were setting it in the parking lot. And he hits, like first he, like the front of his car hits one of the poles and then it causes the rest of his car to kind of turn and whip around. And as that happens, there again, he's not wearing a seatbelt. He like flies across the inside of the car and his window busted and he flies across the car and like out the window where his head collides with the other pole. And kills him. It's like when I get to the scene, it looks like his car is like parallel parked next to this sign. So like the front of the car is like the wheel well is like where he first made impact with the sign. And then like literally right next to the other pole is like where his head, and you could see on the pole, there was like blood and hair and like brain matter on the pole because that's how hard he hit and it had like busted his window out and then it like had actually like his car like bounced back off the pole. But yeah, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So if he would have been wearing a seatbelt, he would have survived. But yeah, like when he made impact, he flew across the car and his head just like hit the pole. And yeah,
So some people say, like, they're like, don't wear seatbelts because you get stuck in a car. But you, so you're saying it's definitely, everything I'm hearing is you definitely should be wearing a seatbelt.
Well, if someone as nice as your sister.
Well, I haven't gotten there yet. I was going to have a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
Amy got everybody for Christmas because we've heard her stories and stories
some
of
take
being
it more seriously than others, like Kelly.
Yep. I take everything seriously though. She will tell us these horror stories about being locked in your car or not being able to get out or trapped, right? Because that's what she's seen. So she bought us these, what are they called?
Rescue Me.
Rescue Me. So one end has like a way to cut your seatbelt off so you don't get stuck in the car. And the other has a like into it that will break a windshield. So if you're stuck for any reason, and it's not a very big, it's super small. It's almost like a...
It's supposed to go on your keychain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super small. I keep, because cars now have the push start and I don't ever take my keys out of my purse, I still have it sitting in my purse for that reason. Because you're like, well, I don't know if I want to make it super accessible and leave it in my car or if I want to keep it in my purse. Because also Amy said I could use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
So especially
the one end has a little pokey.
All you New York listeners right now, I'm seeing a lot of people on social media. Have you seen that where their women are posting about how like be careful and pay attention because there's like this weird craze going on where people are getting hit in the face.
Well, I call it a kick to the You know, what rhymes with kick.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, I think it's happening so quick. Jeff and I were in New York for a wedding like a couple weeks ago. And I mean, I actually, what we noticed was it seemed very clean.
Yeah.
Compared to like San Francisco. And I don't know if it's because of the weather. It's just been so crappy up there, but.
I don't know. I would not let someone just get away with punching me. But that's just me, you know. I'd be running them down.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also a shock. I haven't heard like what kind of people these are. Again, I don't know if this is some TikTok like movement or whatever, but Jeff actually did tell me this and I didn't know it at the time. I guess they're bringing in the National Guard for the subway too, because it's just, it's gotten so bad. Yeah. So Amy got really mad because not everybody's using her Rescue Me tool. But I just
thought listening right now. And I bet it's still on their counter where I saw it last weeks ago. So if I come home again and I see it's still there or it's not in your car, we're going to have issues. Just saying.
So I just thought that was a really cool gift. So if anybody's looking for something for a stocking stuffer, you know, for maybe next Christmas, because if you're like me and shop early.
Well, like my mom said, you just don't think it's ever going to happen to you. Well, guess what? All these other people that died, they didn't think it was going to happen to them either. So don't be the one, because I guarantee you, I'm going to be more mad if it happens to you and you had that thing that wasn't in your car and it could have been prevented. So do yourself a favor. Save yourself.
Save my ears. Save me. From having to hear.
Okay, yes. I'm not normally the harper. Like, I normally am not that person. But I'm like, you guys know what I used to do for a living? Like, you know how serious it is. So, hello.
Another PSA I'm going to make real fast is we signed up for the crime cruise.
Bahama Mamas.
So, it's leaving out of Miami. In November, and it goes to Haiti and to...
Not Bahama Mamas.
No, to Jamaica.
Same difference.
Amy's never been to either one, so it doesn't matter.
I've never been out of the country, so...
I'm going to learn her up on something. We're basically going to be on a boat anyways. It doesn't matter. So hopefully, some of our listeners are going as well. If you are, send us a... quick message. You can email us at kelly@diaryofadeathinvestigator.com or message us on our Instagram page, Diary of a Death Investigator. Let us know if you're coming. Again, thanks for listening and thanks for all the new listeners that we have out there. We have some interesting We've picked up some interesting ones. And until next time,
bye.